John chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 20. Several messages, of course, have been preached from this pulpit, and might not tell you anything you don't already know. But what we have been trying to do, Pastor Cal and myself, when we were getting ready to go into changing the way we share our services, we made it a valid point and made it the forefront of our thinking and our prayers that when we come in here, we want to give it our 100%. We want to give it our best. And I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We didn't want to waste time. It's hard enough to hold your attention when everybody's here in the service. But when you're watching via social media, it's a lot harder because I know you have so many distractions. But we pray that the Holy Spirit has been, you have felt the Holy Spirit in His presence, because the wonderful thing about and what we'll share with you tonight, God is a spirit and He is everywhere. And so we hope you have felt our passion and felt our purpose and why we are doing what we are doing. And what this has done, if anything, it has taught us as pastors and what we're trying to tell you as the congregation of Rubyville Community Church, the number one reason why we should be coming to church anyway, and that is to worship. All the accessories of coming to church are great. Fellowshipping, spending time with one another, seeing one another, but that's not the main reason why we should be coming to church. The main reason why we should come to church is to worship God. And we're finding out as things are starting to open back up and as people start trickling back in and we start gathering together again, you'll find that that will still be our main focus. Can I just say something right here? Everybody says, I want to get back to normal. I don't want to get back to normal. I don't want to get back to normal. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about, I don't want to get back to the normal way that we used to go to church. Not that it was bad, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes our focus gets off of why we come to church. And the reason is we should come to worship. That's why we were created in the first place, is to worship God. The Bible says here in John chapter 4, I didn't mean to say all that, but it felt good saying it. In verse 20, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. This is the lady at the well, the woman at the well talking to Jesus. Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me that the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I think you understand this, and I think you would agree with me. God doesn't have a problem with getting glory. God doesn't have a problem with getting glory. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God. We know that creation declares the glory of God. We know the angels in heaven cry, holy, holy, holy. God has no problem with getting glory. In fact, in Luke chapter 19, whenever they were praising God and praising the Lord, and the Pharisees came after them and disdained them for praising God, Jesus said himself, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. You know what he was saying? He said, if they don't praise me, I'm going to get my glory somehow. I'm going to get my praise somehow. So he has no problem with getting glory. He can get it from creation. But the only problem with that is creation is not redeemed. Creation is not redeemed. So God has always wanted A people that have been redeemed to truly worship him. That's why we were created. That's why he created the human race. He created us to worship him. He created us to redeem us. And I'm thankful tonight that I am redeemed. And he tells us, in fact, the book of Psalm also says that in Psalm 107 verse 2, he said that let the redeemed of the Lord say what? So, he was telling us, hey, the rocks are going to cry out. I can get glory from my creation. But what I want more than anything is for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. So it's high time, has already been mentioned. I love it when God puts it all together. Darren mentioned it frequently tonight. It's time for us not to walk away, not to turn around or go back. It's time for us to speak up and to say something and to say so. Why? Because we are the redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have something to praise God for. We have a reason and a responsibility to worship tonight, and that's because he has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. And this story, this beautiful story, shows us that the Lord will go out of his way to find somebody to worship him. I want you to notice four things about this text tonight. Number one, I want you to notice he came her way. He came her way. He wasn't supposed to go that way. He wasn't supposed to mingle with the Samaritans. They were half-breeds. You all know this. Most of you know this that have been in church any point in time. You know that they were half-breeds. You know that Jews did not associate or even go around Samaria or even near Samaria. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And no doubt the disciples wondered, why in the world would you go through a place that we aren't even supposed to really be talking about? But the reason why Jesus came her way is because he was thirsty. He was thirsty for her soul. Because the first thing that you notice that he even said to her was, give me to drink. He wasn't thirsty for a drink out of Jacob's well. He was thirsty for the soul of a woman. And he was trying to find someone that was willing to worship him. I want you to notice this about the woman. All the men that this woman had every man that this woman had ever been associated with left her in a worse condition than when they found her. But thank God, aren't you thankful that when he came her way, hallelujah, he left her far much better off than when he found her. And that's what Jesus does for us tonight. Even though she had some baggage, even though she came from a place that no one wanted to go to, he still came her way. Aren't you glad tonight? Thank God the world looks at you and say, you ain't worth nothing. All the world says God shouldn't love us. But aren't you glad that he came your way one day? Aren't you glad that he went out of his way to come to where you are at? And you say, Brian, what are you talking about? I'm talking about salvation wasn't meant for the Gentiles. We weren't God's chosen people. But I'm thankful that the Jews rejected him because they rejected him. Thank God when he died on the cross of Calvary, it opened up a well of living water from the side of Jesus. Therewith everyone can come and take of the water of life freely. And I'm thankful as a five-year-old boy on September the 6th, 1981, Jesus came out of his way and came my way. Many thought I was too young to be saved. Many thought I didn't know what I was doing. But thank God I know what I was doing. I knew if I wasn't saved, I was going to hell. And I'm glad he came my way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God Jesus was someone who could touch her heart where no man could reach. He could occupy a space that no man could fill. And he could take her to a place that no man could take her. I'm thankful that Jesus touched a place in my heart that nothing could ever touch. I'm glad he occupied a space, an emptiness, a void in my life that no man or nothing in this world could fill. And I'm thankful that Jesus is going to take me to a place where no man in this world could ever take me. Hallelujah, aren't you glad he came your way? This is good, I ain't even got to the heart of it yet. He came her way. Secondly, I want you to notice this. He captured her attention. He captured her attention. Do you not know and understand that God wants your attention? And he has a way to get your attention. He'll be like the nagging child that all they do is say, mom, 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 mom. How many of you moms have heard that the last month and a half, two? Dad, 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 mom, mom, mom. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. What are they doing? They're wanting your attention. Many of you have animals and they will bark till they get your attention. Many of you, your spouses will get on your nerves till they get your attention. But God has a way to get your attention. And you better be thankful that he chooses to capture your attention instead of commanding your attention. Why do you think this is happening right now? He's trying to get our attention. And many of you still haven't got it. Our pastor's already, and I ain't going to reiterate, just go back and watch this morning's service. But I 100% agree with everything he said today. And the fact is this. You're searching in the wrong place to find your answers. And God is trying to get our attention. And what he's trying to do is, hey, I'm capturing your attention by getting you to realize who you really are and that without me, you can do nothing. And I would rather him capture my attention than command my attention. Because if God chooses to, he will turn your world upside down. How many of you have ever had family members or maybe even you yourself lying flat on your back in a hospital bed said, boy, God got my attention. How many people have we heard from Jamie Bacon Haster that have went, she's went and visited them and prayed with them and they came down with a terrible disease, but because of that, they were able to get saved. You know what God was doing? God was getting their attention. And folks, listen to what God is trying to tell you in this very hour. What is he trying to tell us? I'm coming back. Wake up. I'm coming back. He captured her attention. Now think about this. This woman was hiding in plain sight. She went to the well at a time when no one else goes to a well. We know why. She wasn't liked in that community. But she came at an odd time. And Jesus sitting on a well, and we've said it many, many times, she found a well sitting on a well. And when she finally got up there, he starts this conversation. I want you to notice something I never thought about before. He starts opening up her life in a way that only God can do and capturing her attention because he started telling her things that no one else knew but her. And starting opening up the mirror of the word and starting revealing to her who she really was. And he captured her attention. And you say, why did he do it? How did you know that? Because in verse 19, she said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, I've always looked at that as kind of a comical thing. Like, he's telling her all this stuff. You're like, man, you must be a prophet, you know. But after I began to think about it more, the way the Holy Spirit led me, do you understand that because of the law and because of her promiscuity, that Jesus could have picked up a stone and stoned her? He says, I know who you really are. I perceive that thou art a prophet. Can you imagine the fear that came in her body? Are you a hired hit man to come and take care of me at this odd time of day? But instead of picking up a stone, Jesus offered her a well of living water and a drink of living water. What happened? He got between her and death. He captured her attention and stepped between her and death and gave her an opportunity for a drink of living water. How many of us deserve to die? And because of sin, we deserve hell. But thank God Jesus stepped in between us and death, captured our attention, woke us up with the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, and said, you need me in your life. And we came and accepted that drink of living water. And we've never been the same since. You better be thankful tonight. God captured your attention. Amen. He not only captured her attention and he came her way, but thirdly, I want you to notice, he cleared up her confusion. What was her confusion? Her confusion was all about worship. So You know how people you talk to, try to talk to them about God, and then they want to change the subject right in the middle of it? Oh yeah, the weather looks nice today. No, I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking about your soul. But they, so here, she's trying to deflect and give him all the reasons why she can't take this drink of living water. Well, I mean, it's all about worship. You know, our fathers worshiped up here. You say we got to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus saith, you know what? Everybody's got it wrong. You know what he was trying to tell her? The Spirit of God and worship is not localized. I hope you know, denominations do not have a monopoly on the Spirit of God. And you better be thankful for that, because there's some that believe that they're the only ones that can get blessed. They're the only ones that can feel the Spirit of God. Thank God, I'm glad I found him, and I'm glad I got him when I was 5 years old. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the older I've got, the more he's got of me, but I'm thankful I got the Spirit. Amen. But the Spirit of God is not localized. It's not monopolized. And he was trying to get her to understand she had a worship problem. It wasn't where or what, it was who. He says, listen, woman, it's not about the place. It's about the person. There's going to be a time come when everyone will begin to worship the Father. Because the Father, you know what he's doing? He is seeketh such to worship him. Why did I tell you he went out of his way? He went out of his way to come through Samaria to find somebody to worship him. He's looking for somebody to worship him. And so she had a worship problem. Now bear with me just for a second, because this is where the Lord directed me this week, and I made a couple phone calls because I wanted to make sure I had some things right. And you know who you are, who I called, and I appreciate your help. You were a very huge help to me this week. But this is elementary to some of y'all, but in verse 24 it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That kept spirit and truth, spirit and truth, spirit. I said, why didn't he just say spirit? But he attached truth to it. So he said, it's not as much that we worship him in spirit, but we got to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's what true worship is. The word spirit in the Greek, a lot of you know this, it's pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. And I've preached from that point before. Actually, I used it as power, like with pneumatic machinery. I preached about that here probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But it also means breath. It means spirit. It means breath. It means wind. And you'll find that word pneuma throughout your New Testament. But that word truth, aletheia, means to be unrestricted, free from falsehood, deceit. And one commentator put it this way, a mode of life that's in harmony with divinity. And so as I began to think about it, this is the way the Lord showed me. He says, the problem with my people now is they may be worshiping me with their breath, but they're not attaching truth to it. God wants our worship to be led and be unrestricted by the Spirit. He wants our life to be in his will. And only true worshipers, true worship can only come from people that have let God have his right of way in their life. It's time for us as men and women of God to go past worshiping in just spirit. It's time to worship him in spirit and in truth. Unrestricted praise. Unrestricted worship. And so the Lord led me this way. That word pneuma, it's the root word for where we get a terrible sickness called pneumonia. And he said, Brian, I've got people in your church, and there are people all over the church world that have spiritual pneumonia. Their breathing is hindered. And they say the only way that we can get true worship is to get rid of that spiritual pneumonia on the inside, that infection, if you will, and get rid of all the hindrances to be able to worship me freely. and unrestricted. So as I began, of course, everybody knows what pneumonia is, and I pray you've never had it. I've had it a couple of times, and it's a terrible sickness to have. You're breathing, you feel like you're suffocating. My grandfather suffered with it so much because he had COPD and he suffered with pneumonia so much, and he was always afraid about suffocating to death. That was his worst fear. But it's a terrible situation to not be able to breathe freely. And folks, it's a terrible situation in your spiritual life not being able to breathe freely. Because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. But what we have today is people that have restricted airflow because, listen, the infections that come in because of pneumonia are of the world. They are things that don't belong on the inside of your body. And when those things get on the inside and they begin to accumulate, I realize there are different types of pneumonia, but I'm talking about in a general sense. Whatever it is, it's an infection. It's something that should not be within your body. And so I begin to look up the treatments for pneumonia. And here's the call I made. I know the many people that we visit, the many people that have pneumonia, sometimes they'll give them antibiotics to get rid of that pneumonia, depending on what type of pneumonia it is. But with every type of pneumonia, almost every type of pneumonia, they give them what they call breathing treatments. And in that breathing treatment is a medicine that'll open up your airway so you can breathe freely. And so what they want you to do, and I said, I know this is elementary, but please just, will you just confirm it with me? They want you to continue breathing, right? And I said, now this is not a normal breathing like we do. No, she said, the one I called, she said, no, they want you to breathe deeply. They want you to expel all the bad air that's on the inside and take in the good air and continue to do that. So I said, what you're telling me is the more you breathe, the better the treatment is. And the more you breathe, the more you're able to get rid of that infection that's in your body. She said, yes, basically, that's exactly it. And I said, praise the Lord. So that means if I want to get rid of that spiritual pneumonia in my body, I just got to continue to praise Him. I got to keep praising more. I got to continue breathing more. My praise has to be focused. When I get up in the morning, the first thing out of my mouth should be praise unto God. Folks, I'm telling you, it's time for us not to be silent. God is searching for people to worship Him, and it's time we open it up and breathe and praise in spirit and in truth. Amen. The confusion is not about what or where, it's about who. It's who we worship. So, finally, I want you to notice the change in her life. Anytime there's a change in your life, anytime there's something that happens and you meet God and your life is turned upside down, there will always be people that'll be skeptics and scoffers. I mean, she's having this great conversation and all of a sudden here's the disciples coming. What are you doing talking to this woman? And then now, she could have been embarrassed. She could have maybe said something in rebuttal, but she didn't. The Bible says that she dropped her water pot and dropped her barrel and went back into town and began to testify. Our pastor preached that great sermon on the testimony. She began to testify about a man that told her of all she'd ever did. And she said, is not this the Christ? She said, come see a man that has changed my life. She could have listened to the skeptics. She could have listened to the scoffers. She could have listened to the ones that were trying to come against her. But instead, she left all the naysayers. She left them behind and went back into town and began to testify freely about the change that has happened in her life. And listen, when we start coming back to worship, when we start having church and people start trickling back in, I want you to understand there will be scoffers. There will be haters. But the best thing we can do is not approach them or say anything to them. The best thing you can do is turn around, get back in the church, lift your hands to an almighty God, and testify about the change that has happened in your life. Don't waste your breath on people that are going to hate you anyway. Use your breath to praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The disciples didn't understand that the worship she had was not about what she got. The worship she had in her heart was what about she gave up. She left her water pot behind. She left her life behind. She's saying, you know what? I don't need that water anymore. I found a greater source. And a life that was empty was now full with a well of living water. And she went back into town with a well of information and began to tell the people, come and see. Come and see a man that can change your life. And no doubt, because of this woman, we know a great revival happened. And no doubt, hundreds, maybe thousands of people, that whole town was turned upside down because Jesus said, I've got to go through Samaria and find somebody that'll worship me. As the Lord family's coming, and I'm wondering, all you that are watching, I wonder, Jesus is trying to find somebody who will worship him. Who will be the one to worship?